Hi, it's Mark here. What you're about to hear is a sample of one of our bonus episodes, which we release once a month alongside the monthly updates of Dr. Bitcoin. These episodes allow us to go into depth on certain topics that we don't have time for in the regular show, such as interesting or important elements of the Craig Wright story, interviews with those who have dealt with him in one way or another in the past, and deep dives into his legal cases. The easiest way to listen to these episodes in full is by becoming a member of the Dr. Bitcoin Supporters Club, which, for a small monthly fee, will allow you to listen to all the bonus material, past and future, in your chosen podcast app. Or, if you just want to listen to one or two, you can get them as MP3 downloads from our website for a small consideration. All the money received goes directly into paying the cost of the podcast, ensuring that we can keep on telling the Craig Wright story. For more information on our bonus content and how to get it, plus exclusive discounts for bundle downloads, head to www.drbitcoinpod.com. That's drbitcoinpod.com. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this sample.
Contented Media presents Dr. Bitcoin, the man who wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto, an original podcast series with Mark Hunter and Arthur Van Pelt.
Hello and welcome to another bonus episode of Dr. Bitcoin, the man who wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto, in which we delve into the stories that we don't have time to examine in the monthly episodes, but that demand more investigation. This month, we're turning our attention back to the Kleiman vs. Wright case, which, as listeners to our March monthly update will know, has seen plenty of action since the verdict was handed down in December 2021. In the 16 months since, we've had two appeals from Ira Kleiman, one rejected and one ongoing, and the small matter of Ira's legal team trying to collect the $143 million that Craig Wright owes, which is proving as elusive as a Craig Wright public block signing. With so much having happened in the months since, we thought it was time for an update, and with me to run the rule over Wright's ducking and diving is a man who would pay a $143 million fine just like that. It's Arthur Van Pelt. Arthur, you're an honest man. You'd have just paid up, wouldn't you?
Oh, sure, Mark. Nah, not that I really have the means to pay anything close to $143 million, of course. I mean, Digital Currency Group is not paying that well.
Sadly.
Well, I would certainly throw in the MasterCard millions that I'm being paid to troll the BSV camp, of course, if I had them. No, yeah, seriously, I'm of course trying to pay every money that I owe someone as soon as possible. I was born in the north of Holland in a province that is called Friesland. And Friesland once was a little bit of a kingdom. But I think it was in the early Middle Ages, so long time ago. Mm-hmm. But what they do have there is a sort of an their own language, the Frisian language. And I speak a little bit of that language, and we have a saying there that's called "een liekman is een riekman." Well, this is in the Frisian language, but it means that if you are free of debt, then you are rich.
Ah, I like it.
I like that saying, actually, so yeah. But anyway, let's crack on with our episode.
Yep, let's get started. Seeing as it's been over a year since our last bonus episode covering the Kleiman vs. Wright case, let's recap the key events that have taken place in the meantime. In December 2021, following the month-long trial, Wright was found to have committed conversion and ordered to pay $100 million to W&K Info Defence, the company that Ira Kleiman said he had inherited through his brother Dave, who died in 2013. This was increased to $143 million thanks to the addition of prejudgment interest in March 2022. Wright didn't appeal the verdict, which isn't a surprise given how much worse it could have been for him, and instead started planning how he could use the allegedly disputed ownership of W&K to delay payment. Wright's strategy to avoid payment, if it wasn't already clear at the start of the case in 2018, had become clearer in 2020 when his former wife Lynn Wright filed a lawsuit against Ira Kleiman, alleging that she was the sole living majority owner of W&K rather than him, and that because of this, Kleiman didn't have the standing to bring the case on W&K's behalf. Arthur, what's the story Lynn Wright cooked up that suggests that she is the owner of W&K?
Well, she was not the full owner, but at least a one-third owner, according to her own lawsuit. So I will quote a part of that, if you don't mind. In February 2011, W&K Info Defense Research LLC, or as we call them, W&K, was formed as a Florida limited liability company. Lynn was an initial member of and owner of one-third of the membership interests in W&K Info Defense. In addition to Lynn, upon information and belief, Craig Wright R&D, for which Wright acted as a trustee, and Dave were also initial members of and each owners of one-third interests in W&K. The name W&K was comprised of W for Lynn Wright, K for Dave Kleiman, and Info Defense for Craig, as he already was the principal of Information Defense Proprietary Limited, which is an Australian entity. Now, and this is how they make how they made up that story that Lynn Wright might be or should be an initial member of W&K.
Mm-hmm.
It's all nonsense, but yeah, we will learn about that later.
Yes.
So yeah, then there were of course some changes in the years after, as Craig and Lynn they divorced shortly after W&K was raised. So Craig had to hand half of his shares, that he never had anyway, so you can guess already that Craig has been creating backdated forgeries to make this claim believable also. But he handed them to Lynn, but ultimately Craig Wright got that share back and Lynn ended up owning one-third of W&K. Well, according to Craig's forgeries, that is.